From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's selection is entitled The Life-Giving Stream. The text is found in Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 9. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. The living waters in the prophet's vision flowed into the Dead Sea and carried life with them, even into that stagnant lake. Where grace goes, spiritual life is the immediate and the everlasting consequence. Grace proceeds sovereignly according to the will of God, even as a river in all its windings follows its own sweet will. And wherever it comes, it does not wait for life to come to it, but it creates life by its own quickening flow. Oh, that it would pour along our streets and flood our slums! Oh, that it would now come into my house and rise till every chamber were made to swim with it! Lord, let the living water flow to my family and my friends, and let it not pass me by. I hope I have drunk of it already, but I desire to bathe in it, yea, to swim in it. O my Savior, I need life more abundantly. Come to me, I pray thee, till every part of my nature is vividly energetic and intensely active. Living God, I pray thee, fill me with thine own life. I am a poor dry stick. Come and make me so to live that, like Aaron's rod, I may bud and blossom and bring forth fruit unto thy glory. Quicken me for the sake of my Lord Jesus. Amen.
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise.
To a my world.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns returns to the subject of the beauty, basis, and blessings of free justification. The text is Romans 4, verses 6 through 8. During the previous broadcast, Dr. Cairns expounded the beauty of how God imputes the righteousness of Christ to guilty sinners apart from any works they have done. Justification deals with the believer's legal standing before God. According to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, God has made Christ to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is what makes the gospel so astounding to sinful men. Here is a standing of righteousness before God that is totally apart from good works. It is indeed beautiful. Turning his attention to the basis of this justification, Dr. Cairns demonstrates from the Old Testament scriptures how Abraham was justified by faith. The Bible statement is amazingly simple. Abraham believed God, and he, that is God, counted it to him for righteousness. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue the theme, the basis and blessings of free justification.
We return this evening as we study the Epistle to the Romans, to chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And we are reading again, the brief passage, verse 6, 7, and 8. Romans chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his own name's sake. Remember where we are in Romans in chapter 4. Having established back in chapter 3:28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. Paul is proceeding to defend that truth against typical objections that would come from his Jewish fellow countrymen. They would immediately trot out the example of Abraham. Abraham was a righteous man, a good man, who because of his righteousness and because of the merit of his faith was accepted and greatly blessed of God. So Paul immediately says, in effect, let us look at Abraham. Was he justified by works? Or was he justified by free grace through faith without his works? And he concludes that he was not justified by works, but he was justified by the grace of God. And that grace was not mediated, is the theological term. You might use the word obtained or merited, but it didn't come to him through his works. It came to him through faith alone. In fact, in establishing that, Paul makes the argument, if Abraham worked for God's salvation, then what he received was not a gift, but a wage. If he worked for it, then he merited it. If God gave him what he deserved, then he gave him what he owed to Abraham. He didn't give him the gift of grace. And of course, the very thought of that is obnoxious to readers of both the Old and the New Testament. So Paul goes on to argue to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. And if I may cut across all that I said about that last part, faith counted for righteousness, the equivalent expression is, he is justified by faith alone. So what he's saying is, to the man who doesn't work to be accepted by God, doesn't work to establish the righteousness that he needs to be able to stand at the judgment bar of God, to that man who believes on him that justifies the ungodly, to that man is given justification by faith alone. And at that point, Paul says, now let's come to a second outstanding example. Having looked at Abraham, and of course he's going to return to Abraham, but on this point of justifying the ungodly, he says, let me throw in the additional evidence that we can get from the experience of David. Even as David also describes the blessing of the man to whom God imputes righteousness without or apart from works, then he quotes Psalm 32 and the first two verses. Now the subject of these opening verses of Psalm 32, the subject of Romans chapter 4 verses 6 through 8, is a wonderful subject. It's one that really deserves more than a couple of sermons. It deserves the study of a lifetime. Because what Paul is talking about, what David is talking about, is the subject of the beauty, the basis, and the blessing of free justification. Justification by grace through faith without works. The beauty of it. Now, we got as far as looking at that last Lord's Day. We didn't get any further than that very first thing, the beauty of it. The beauty of justification is that looking the full blackness of our sin straight in the face, without palliating our sin, without excusing it, without in any way trying to work around it, facing it in all the blackness and darkness and hideousness that is in it, looking at our sin as it really is, justification deals with our legal standing before God, goes right to the root of our state before the Lord, and gives us a legal ground upon which to come to God and be declared perfectly, absolutely, sinlessly, stainlessly, and thank God, irrevocably, eternally righteous. That's the beauty of justification. As I said last Sabbath day, and repeat it this morning, there are other aspects to the saving actions of God on behalf of His people. Election is a saving action of God. Predestination to the image of Christ is a saving action of God. Sanctification is a saving action of God. Glorification is a saving action of God. There are many things that the Lord does in the whole scope of salvation, but justification is a key element apart from which there can be nothing else. Because this is the aspect of God's saving action that deals with our legal status before God. As I pointed out last week, the righteousness with which justification deals is the righteousness that God imputes to us. It is not the holiness that He imparts to us by the action of His Spirit. That is another thing entirely. The ground of this whole thing is an imputed righteousness, and that's the beauty of justification. Now we come to the basis of this free justification. Remember that Paul is citing David. And what he says in Psalm 32, in support of this apparently radical, revolutionary, even outrageous statement, God justifies the ungodly. Now that was one that really took the Jews by storm. And not only they, but the generations of professing Christians ever since. This is what sounds so revolutionary. Think of it. God justifies the ungodly. In other words, justification does not depend upon our being godly. Our justification with God, our acceptance with God, our legal standing at the throne of God does not depend upon our personal holiness or godliness. And that's what sounds so revolutionary. Let me say it sounds revolutionary or radical only because men throughout the ages have consistently rejected the plain witness of the Word of God. I have referred to the Jewish claim about Abraham, a righteous man who, because he was such, was accepted by God. And they spoke freely of the merit of Abraham's faith. Of course, Paul denied that entirely. But you know, when you look at the case of Abraham, if I may regress for a moment, where was he when God found him? He was an Ur of the Chaldees. What was he He was a member of a heathen, idolatrous family. That's where he was, and that's what he was. We read in Joshua 24, verses 2 and 3, that Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. And they served other gods." They served other gods. Now, the antecedent of they is Terah, Abraham, and Nahor. They served other gods. That's where Abraham was. That's what Abraham was. And the Lord said, "And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. And I led him throughout all the land of Canaan." In other words, the sovereign grace of God reached into the heart of heathendom. God placed his hand upon a heathen idolater, called him by his grace, revealed himself to him. And Abraham believed God. I believe that's the point at which he was justified. As I pointed out, the later reference in Genesis 15 does not identify that later time as the point of his justification. It's simply saying then he was already a believing one, and therefore a justified one. Abraham, therefore the heathen, was not righteous before, but as the result of being justified by faith. In other words, from Abraham we learn that godliness is the fruit, not the cause of our justification. Now, says Paul, David teaches precisely the same thing. Now, the reference to David is a very telling reference. Paul certainly knew how to argue. He certainly knew theological debate. In very crude vernacular terms, he went for the jugular every time. When I was teaching theology, I used to exhort students never to waste your time trimming the little leaves and branches of an opponent's argument, unless you have first gone to the very root of it. And if the root is rotten, cut down the root, and you'll not need to be bothered with all the stupid fruit. That makes a whole lot of sense to me. And certainly that's what Paul did. He went right to the very root. You see, David towered as a giant over Hebrew history. Undoubtedly, in the eyes of the Jews, and I would have to agree with them, he was Israel's greatest king. He was the acknowledged forefather of the Messiah. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was the man after God's own heart. But just as with Abraham, though you could look at David and say, if any man could be acceptable to God because of his devotion and obedience, despite the awful lapse and blot on his reputation through his dealings with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite, if any man could be looked on as having been accepted because he was a good man, surely it was David. But as with Abraham, Paul goes right to what David says, and he says, far from being an example of getting what he deserved, David is an unequivocal example of a person justified, reckoned righteous, totally apart from his works.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.